Christian Aid Week, it's celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. It began, I think, 1957, but Christian Aid itself had been founded about 10 years earlier than that. But then they had the brainwave to have the week of collecting for their work. And I mean, it's a very simple idea. You've got all the churches, and it's an ecumenical organisation, so you had all the churches in Britain with lots of people disposed to do good. And so they thought they could get a lot of volunteers to help, and indeed they did. And so they started this house-to-house collecting in 1957. So that's really the beginning of it, and it has gone on since.
Right. So how long have you been involved in Christian Aid then, Elizabeth?
Well, I got involved, I think, about 1961. And I was part of a youth group at a church in London. I was living in London at that point. And so I'm sure the church would be asked to help. And so all the elders of the congregation thought that the youth of the congregation would be just the people that they could enlist. So the youth group was asked to go and do some collecting in the area where the church was. So that's how it started.
Okay, and so how long have you been collecting for now?
Well, pretty well steadily. I think there was a very small break when my daughter was a baby, and I didn't collect for 1 or 2 years. But since that time, I've collected every year up until last year. I had to give up last year because I have arthritis. Right. And I just couldn't physically do it anymore.
Of course. So as a young person down in London, collecting for Christian Aid and up in sort of County Durham, what's changed? What's changed since those beginnings?
In terms of collecting, of course, the sums of money that we collected then and collect now are very different. I mean, I can't remember what my round would yield then, but I would think about £50 probably. But, I mean, the last year I think it was about £200 that I was getting. So people are, it's not necessarily that they're more generous, it's just the sums of money we're dealing with are larger now. So there's that. And then I think too that other people are giving up on house-to-house collections, but Christian Aid still do that. It's a way of, I think, saying that there's a message with it. There's no evangelizing going on, but there is a message that Christians care.
Yeah.
And whom they care for is a wide variety of people. You don't have to be a Christian to receive aid from whom they work with.
So you've done it for such a long time, and I know you've recently just stopped doing it, but why do you feel called to do that?
Well, just because I'm, you know, I think, you know, we're very wealthy in this country. I know there are people who are poor, but that they still have all sorts of basic services here, which people in third world countries don't have at all. And I mean, our government provides all sorts of services, where in other countries the government may be chaotic. The government may have no big money to do anything with, and you just feel that you want to give people a hand to improve their lives.
Once this money's been collected from the door, where does it go next? What happens to it?
Well, Christian Aid, I mean, what you asked earlier about what changes there have been, one of the changes I think that's important is that Christian Aid used to help emergencies in the past. If there was a hurricane or there was an earthquake or something, they would give money to help disasters. They now contribute to an organisation which is called the Disasters Emergency Fund, where a whole lot of organisations, important ones, get together to help in the wake of a disaster. But what Christian Aid does now is work with organisations in particular countries, because these organisations know the territory, you might say, and really know what people need, and are able to discuss things with people and are able to distribute money effectively, whereas one thing Christian Aid doesn't want to be seen as is flying in and scattering some money around and flying out again. They want to set up partnerships and do continuing good for people.
And there's lots of information about the various partnerships that are set up on the website, isn't there?
To be able to see that.
I wonder, Elizabeth, if we could talk a little bit more about your faith, if we may.
Yes.
Yeah. So you said you're a Christian. What does that involve? What does that mean?
Well, it believes initially, I mean, fundamentally, in believing that Jesus, Son of God, came to earth and explained to people how God was very anxious to help them break the power of sin in their lives, and he showed the way in terms of his teaching. He tried to prove his status, if you like, in terms of miracles, and then of course at the end he died on the cross, an innocent man, and he was buried, and fundamentally the Christians believe that he rose again from the dead, and that people who believe in him also will rise from the dead. So that's the fundamental message of Christianity.
So obviously following Jesus, is what kind of changes has it made in your life?
Well, two things. One is that you have guidance as to how to make decisions, for example, how to live your life. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit will bring a whole lot of, what shall I call them, blessings, I suppose, into your life, in that you receive a great many states of mind and emotions, which are, they're things that the Holy Spirit is like, that sort of, you become more like the Holy Spirit once you have taken the decision to follow Christ.
And presumably one of those things is for yourself is having this kind of passion for people who are abroad, who are struggling in life and experiencing some real
kindness,
hardships. Yeah, that kindness and compassion.
Kindness is one of them. The Bible calls them fruits of the Spirit. And love is one, kindness, another, gentleness, faith, hope. It goes on. There are quite a lot of them. I can't
yeah,
reel them off.
Of course. So for people who are listening, who are maybe curious about the Christian faith, what do you think they should do to explore it further?
Well, I always say read your Bible. I mean, that's the basis of it all. You'll get the whole story there, and particularly read the New Testament. I mean, a lot of people say that, the Bible's very harsh, it's very violent, it's very forbidding, and so on. It isn't really, if you read the Old Testament, which is the main point of criticism, there's an awful lot of good things in the Old Testament. But the New Testament is full of guidance as to how to live your life, and it's also full of stories of Jesus